Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
It's Big 12 tournament week in Kansas City. We're pretty excited for that. The weather looks great. The matchups aren't particularly awesome. KU and K-State not entering on their best seasons, maybe as good as it was a year ago. Missouri playing in the SEC tournament will also play on Wednesday. We'll get to all the basketball coming up in just a moment, but we want to let you know that this episode of KKHI is brought to you by TicketsForLess.com. If you're looking for tickets to T-Mobile Center for the Big 12 Championship this week, TicketsForLess.com never adds fees. Call 913-685-3322. Mention KKHI and you will get at least 5% off your entire order, including parking and everything else that they have. TicketsForLess.com. No fees ever. Promo code KKHI. For the Big 12 and NCAA tournament at TicketsForLess.com. We appreciate them for being sponsors. This is a big week for them. They'll even have a shop set up down there near T-Mobile where you can walk in and meet with somebody that's there. Just call the local number. If you need help and personal service, this is the way to go. This is not some, you know, faraway call center in India or something like that. They're awesome. They're local folks, a great local business. TicketsForLess.com for your Big 12 tournament. We start this episode today with the news that Chris Jones has signed a new contract with the Kansas City Chiefs, 5 years, $160 million. Depending on how you interpret this contract, it's either $95 million guaranteed or $65 million guaranteed. And there's two different ways to look at this thing. I am not surprised the Chiefs have done this. This is a little unusual for them. They don't give big contracts to veteran aging players very often. Chris Jones should be an exception. He is and should be. And the reasons why were planned long ago. You remember the big fight last year over money and Chris Jones winds up signing a one-year deal. It all looks like now that they worked this thing out knowing that the salary cap was going to have a huge bump this year, that there would be more money down the road, and ultimately what they've done with Chris Jones is make him the highest paid defensive tackle in the history of the National Football League. So everybody wins here. The Chiefs got a Super Bowl ring. Chris Jones played well down the stretch. He was terrific in the second half. In almost every postseason game they played, he's obviously a major impact player and affected the incomplete pass on that drive in overtime by the Niners that led to them kicking a field goal. Just a huge play that he made right there. This is a big, big deal. He is right below, if there's going to be a Mount Rushmore here of this era, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, and then Chris Jones, I think, is the way we will remember this era of Chiefs football. And this cements that. It is a five-year deal, but you can forget about 5 years and $160 million. He's never going to make $160, and he's never going to stay 5 years. So don't get your hopes up. He's going to be a declining player, and he's going to be a declining player pretty quickly. I believe this will probably go 3 years, and he'll make what looks like the guaranteed money of around $95 million over 3 years, and then it'll probably be retirement time for Chris Jones. It may not be. He may wind up going somewhere else on a one-year deal that nobody will ever remember, that he went and played 1 year somewhere else. That could happen. But the Chiefs did a good thing here, especially as they're going to try to do a three-peat to keep their Mount Rushmore, the big four, if you will, from this era together and on this team, which is pretty cool. Now, the Chiefs, 1 year from now, next March, when the 2025 season begins, I know it's kind of weird and confusing, but the 2024 season began March this week. That's why all this is happening. The season is now on. So next year at this time, the Chiefs can decline to accept the full terms of this deal, and they can basically part with Chris Jones. There's a couple of ways this happens. If he's not very good, if he gets a serious injury that looks like it's going to limit him going forward, if next year somehow is the end of his career, the Chiefs can then opt out of the thing and not pay the full $95 million. The first 2 years are completely guaranteed, and that's why you're reading some reports today that it's a $65 million guaranteed contract, which is what I believe. And others will say it's $95 million guaranteed. But in order for it to be $95 million guaranteed, the Chiefs have to pick up his option next March for a third year. The second year is guaranteed. So this year and next year are guaranteed. And they would have to pick up the option for the third year. And if they do that, to get him to play the one more year, the second year, they would have to guarantee him then the third year. So that's his safety net. These things are not as complicated as they sound. I know that's confusing to do without looking at it on paper for me to have to describe it. But I think what's going to happen, bottom line here, I think Chris Jones is going to play 3 years in Kansas City. I think he's going to make $95 million. And I think that will probably be the end of his career, but maybe not. Maybe not. Again, I don't think the Chiefs would continue to pay him that kind of money in a fourth year. At that point, we think Travis Kelce will be gone. It's going to be an entirely new era of players. They will move on to what we'll probably look at as, you know, era two of the Patrick Mahomes quarterback play in Kansas City. Because if you get, you know, Rashee Rice could be a 7 or 8 year player here. We could be entering a Rashee Rice era. We don't even really know. Certainly there's going to be another tight end come along. There will be other weapons. And I don't believe Andy Reid's going to coach all the way to the end for Patrick Mahomes either. So a lot of decisions to be made. If you're asking me, it would not surprise me if 2 years from now or 3 years from now, Andy Reid, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce are all gone. There's a new coach in. It's Patrick Mahomes and a whole cast of new players. I think Brett Veach is in this for the long haul. I think he'll be the architect of that. I think Andy Reid, when he decides to retire, will stay on as a, you know, liaison or whatever they want to call it, advisor. I think Andy stays for life and has a job for life. However, he wants to do that and be a consultant. And I think he's going to have a very, very strong say in who the next head coach is. I think all of those things are in play. But you can't really look at 5 years on this Chris Jones contract and say, okay, they've got him 5 years. I think that's unreasonable. I think that's unrealistic. I think we're going to see massive change. In my mind, I think it's after the 25 season. I think this year they keep them together. Why wouldn't you keep your Mount Rushmore together? And I think there's a chance they're all here in 25, but there's a chance they're not. Injuries matter. Pain matters. Chronic pain matters. Travis Kelce has talked about how he already lives with chronic pain from his career. I'm sure Chris Jones has some too. And we don't know how long Andy Reid's going to coach. It's hard to walk away when Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. But does he want to oversee the next phase of all this? Or after two more years, would it be time for Andy, Kelce, and Jones all to be gone? That is definitely on the table here with this Chris Jones contract. But this is a great deal. This is a really good deal. I think it actually increases the chance that L'Jarius Sneed is back. I know that sounds weird. A lot of people thought, well, if they didn't get Chris Jones signed out of all this money and they'd sign L'Jarius Sneed, different position, different commitment, different all kinds of things. I think the Chiefs are indicating to me that the three-peat matters and that they're doing something internally with the front office that they never do. The Chiefs always look long-term. They like to trade for draft picks, continue to get young, 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 but they're so young and cheap on defense that for one more year, if they pay the tag money, the franchise tag money to L'Jarius Sneed, they can make this work within the cap. That's if they don't agree to a long-term deal. So I think the only way, at this point, L'Jarius Sneed doesn't play here next year for at least just 1 year under the tag or whatever it may be, I think the only way he doesn't is if some team just blows them away in a trade and says, look at this haul of picks. And if that happens, like the Dolphins did with Tyreek Hill, they'll move on. But remember, they can tag L'Jarius Sneed, play 1 year, and sign him to a new deal next year. And it could be a different landscape next year. He could be injured. He could maybe only make it 8 games. Maybe he won't be the number one rated corner next year. There's a lot of things that can change, as we would have never thought this would happen with Chris Jones, right? The way it was a year ago, we're like, oh gosh, is Chris Jones coming back? And then they fought and he sat out. He signed a 1 year deal. It looked contentious. And now it looks like it was all orchestrated. We'll pay you big money for 1 year. We're going to shake your hand and tell you that if this all works out, we're going to have make you the highest paid guy in the league at your position next year, which they've now done and honored because Chris Jones did his job. He helped get him to a point where the salary cap gets higher and they can afford him. It worked out, and they may work something out with L'Jarius Sneed in a similar sort of way. I think that'd be pretty cool if that happened, and I think it's absolutely quite possible. Russell Wilson this weekend decided he's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is pretty interesting. The Broncos are on the hook for $38 million this year for Russell Wilson. The Steelers just pay pennies for him. It's a one-year deal, but you got to admit, again, it sounds like a pretty good match. You know, a coach that's always on the cusp of being in the playoffs, a good football team, they'll have a solid defense. They're going to ask Russell Wilson to hand the ball off and run it and try to make some plays here and there. It's very interesting to see what would happen with Russell Wilson with the Steelers in 1 year, and he stays in the conference. And look, I don't think the Steelers are any giant worry of the Kansas City Chiefs coming up next year, but I find it fascinating and interesting that this is where Russell Wilson goes. I can't think of a better fit. If Russell Wilson's ever going to be good again, seems to me like Pittsburgh would be that place. That's pretty cool. All right, on to college basketball. Wednesday night at T-Mobile Center, Kansas State takes on Texas at 6. Kansas will play West Virginia or Cincinnati at 8:30. It's a great session. I mentioned tickets for less to get your tickets if you want to go. And this is a tale of two teams. Kansas, look, that's the worst game I've ever seen Kansas play under Bill Self. I know some Kansas fans are going to point to some other ones. They had a game against TCU a few years ago that was a debacle. They lost at Texas Tech earlier this year by 29. This thing was not competitive from the start. And what was really ugly is Kansas couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. They couldn't score. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know, and I've covered the sport for a long, long, long time. I'm not smart enough to know how Kansas plays Houston at home and kills them. Then Houston plays Kansas at home and kills them. I mean, we're talking about like a 50-some point swing here in the two games they played. What Kansas win by 25, 24, 22, 24 at Allen Fieldhouse? And they lost by 30 on Saturday at Houston. I mean, this is just unexplainable. They're both tournament teams. Houston's going to be a one seed. Kansas is probably at worst going to be maybe a three or a four. It's not like they're chum in the water. Kansas is an enigma. They were great at home this year and really, really bad on the road. Now they enter what we call neutral site games, and I don't really know what to expect. Look, playing Wednesday night at T-Mobile Center against West Virginia or Cincinnati, that's a home game. Kansas is going to win that game easily. They're going to win by double digits. I don't care who's healthy and who's not, they're going to win it. That will be a home game. Thursday, they'll play Baylor, and I think it's a tough game. Again, it leans toward a home game. There's going to be a lot of Kansas fans there, no question. But all the Iowa State, and if K-State plays that night, if K-State wins and plays, all the Iowa State and K-State fans are going to be rooting for Baylor. So I think it could turn on Kansas. And, you know, we'd have to see how that plays out. But look, if Kansas State, I think if you're a Kansas fan, you want Kansas State to lose. You just want them done and gone and out of the tournament and gone. Kansas State, they say, is still alive at the NCAA tournament, and I don't believe it. I do believe it because everybody's alive. You can go win all these games and win the tournament you're in. Kansas State has been ugly all year. They started the game ugly Saturday. They were down 11-2 at home against Iowa State and came back and won and by double digits. And somehow they defensively just frustrated Iowa State to no end and played a good game. And they won. And you could see a path where if Kansas State beats Texas Wednesday, which I'm not sure they're going to do, they'll be an underdog in that game, and they just beat Iowa State, I don't think they'd beat Iowa State at T-Mobile, but if they did, if they won those two games, there's all kinds of people around the country saying Kansas State would be in. So they've fought their way back and earned a chance, which is inexplicable because they just got pounded by Kansas 6 days ago and looked like the worst team in America. But that's what you get with a big tournament like this. There's so many teams in the tournament that there's always bad teams in the tournament. And I don't think Kansas State is very good, but here they are, coming to Kansas City with a chance to win two games and get in. The weather looks fantastic. 71 degrees and sunny on Wednesday, 67 for a high on Thursday, 58 on Friday. It cools down, but so much fun outdoors at the Power and Light. This is going to be great weather. This is going to be terrific weather for the Big 12 tournament. Kansas has some question marks. Hunter Dickinson had his shoulder dislocated in the game on Saturday. They pushed it back into place, which is just unbelievable to think about. But they've done that, and I'm sure he'll be a go if that popped back in properly and everything's good. Kansas is the enigma in this tournament. I'm just talking about this week's tournament. Can Kansas win this tournament? They can. I mean, who didn't they beat? They beat Houston. They can beat these teams. They're going to have home court advantage slightly. It's not Allen Fieldhouse, but they'll have a home advantage. We've referred to this as the KU Invitational many times. Doesn't rotate. It just plays in KU's backyard every year. And Kansas has two first-team All-Big 12 players. 40% of the first-team All-Big 12 is Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough. Now, since we're saying that, there was an interesting piece over the weekend that Vahe Gregorian wrote for the Kansas City Star. He's a terrific feature writer. And he did a sit-down in Bill Self's office. He got to sit down with him for quite some time and talk to him about life, basketball, the changing landscape, all these different things. NIL, paying players, everything that's changed. Bill Self's personal health, his weight loss, the valve in his heart, the new diet, everything he's doing. And I've commented on this several times this year because I'm in the camp of people that watches Bill Self coach now, and I don't think he looks the same. And I'm not talking about he looks better physically. He does look a lot healthier and a lot better. There's no question. There's no question he's doing better physically with his health himself. And he got heated a little bit last week on Tuesday night against Kansas State and Saturday at Houston, just a little bit in the beginning. But we've seen him be a little more animated as the season goes on. I think he's got a growing frustration that this team just hasn't come along. And I've asked the question out loud, is he the same coach he was? Has this been a life-changing experience for him with a valve in his heart and, you know, NIL and paying players and all these different things? You can't rip your $2 million player off the court, throw him on the bench, and scream at him if you want him to come back next year because somebody else will pay him. You have to treat the players differently in this era. And Bill Self talked about this. And in this interview, it was really interesting. He said, look, I'm eating better for starters. They didn't really get into things like, I don't think he ever smoked or anything like that, but you know, alcohol or whatever. They didn't get into that. But let's just say what he's putting in his body is better. Okay, we can all see that. That's tangible. We can see it. But he said, I'm worrying less. I don't get as worked up over things. This new era of NIL and all these things, he said, so much is out of my control. I've stepped back and said, I can't control it, so I'm not going to worry about it. And I thought that was interesting, and I think we've seen that kind of play out in his coaching style as well. There's certain things he just doesn't worry about that he used to, and I think he knows he can't scream at these players and treat them the same way that he used to treat them because they're all free agents all the time. I bring this up because Kansas comes into this tournament as the sixth seed. We've not seen anything like this in the Bill Self era. They have two first-team All-Big 12 players and Bill Self as their coach, and they finished sixth. If we're being honest, we have to say this. Bill Self's legendary Hall of Fame career at Kansas, this was his worst coaching job ever. This is the worst work Bill Self has ever put in, ever. Now, nobody will remember it if he goes and wins this tournament this week, jumps up to a two seed and makes it to even the Sweet 16. Nobody will remember that. They'll just say it was another great KU year. I don't think anybody thinks they're Final Four caliber, but can you count them out with two first-team All-Big 12 players and Bill Self as your coach? Shouldn't Bill Self with two first-team All-Big 12 players be really good? Isn't that what they're paying for? We do Coach of the Year every year. Kelvin Sampson's it in this conference. If there was anti-Coach of the Year, the one who had the worst year, we got a coin toss here between Jerome Tang and Bill Self. It was a bad year in the Sunflower State. We hands down know who was the negative coach of the year in the SEC. That's Dennis Gates. Missouri will play Georgia at 8:30 on Wednesday night as the 14 seed in the SEC tournament. But all three of our coaches right here in the Kansas City area could be candidates for, according to what they were supposed to be this year, their coaching jobs could be rated dead last in their conference. Just flat out dead last. Inexplicable this happened, but it can all change on a dime. They say you only are remembered for what you do in March, and March is now a clean slate. We'll see what happens. KKHI is brought to you by MedImageKS.com. I got a great email. This is from a friend of mine. Well, he's an acquaintance of mine, but I've known him for quite a while, and he's a doctor. This is unbelievable, folks. And he writes to me, Kevin, even with all my connections, I was unable to get an MRI of my knee scheduled anywhere in Kansas City until after April 10th. At first, I thought, do I want to go to Lawrence to advance medical imaging? And I thought, well, that's a first world problem. Yes, I do. I called Thursday, explained my situation to them. They asked if I wanted to come that day or if I wanted to come on Friday. He's like, it's true. Crazy good service. I told him that I knew of them because of the podcast, which I appreciate, Doc. Thank you very much. Feel free to use my name or anything else in this email. I've just got to shorten this thing. Advanced Medical Imaging is in Lawrence. It is online at MedImageKS.com. This is a doctor that could not get an MRI scheduled for a month for his ailing knee. And he went to Advanced Medical Imaging. A doctor. Let me tell you who knows how messed up healthcare is. The doctors know. He's like, man, I cannot believe their customer service at this place. Advanced Medical Imaging, online at MedImageKS.com. We've heard some great stories of people who've gone to Advanced Medical Imaging and had really good outcomes, or they've caught things doing the heart scan. They found out that they didn't know that they had. We've heard great stories. This is also one of my favorites. that a doctor went outside of where he works and stuff and goes to advanced medical imaging because he can get in that day. MedImageKS.com. This one's a beauty. I got an email from my buddy Chris over the weekend. Chris, come on, man. You knew I wasn't going to respond to that email until Monday. I do the emails on Monday. The work emails wait until Monday. You could have texted me. I'd have texted you back. You send me an email. It's going to be Monday. He says, they've got 500 different models of laptops. There's over 1,000 of them in stock. All right, but this is the best part. No, he says, come on, bring your old laptop in. Find one you like, buy it. We'll transfer all your data over from the new one. It's easy. And they give you both laptops back. This is what they do free of charge. Then he says, TVs. Ugh, I've got so many TVs. Please call Leah and tell her what you want and see if we can make it happen. Nothing is off the table. Have an old TV and want to trade it in? We'll take a look at that too. Want us to come take the old one down and hang the new one? Yes, we're doing all kinds of deals in the Kansas City area. Anything on your mind, please just call us. No reasonable request will be ignored. We have to unload these things. Folks, make him an offer. He literally says, ugh, so many. Call Leah and tell her what you want. Nothing is off the table. At bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. And our good friend Tim Cross. I had a sponsor get a hold of me and say, I want to talk to Tim about a remodel in my home. I'm like, that's awesome when sponsors use other sponsors. I love that part. Connecting them, putting together, they have so much in common being sponsors of this podcast. And it sounds like that is in the works. Just another person reaching out to Tim saying, hey, listen, we want to freshen up our home a little bit. Can you come over here, check us out, see what we're doing, and give us your thoughts? It's real easy. You just log on to crosskitchenskc.com or call Tim at 816-898-7047 for crosskitchenskc.com. Spring training note, Brady Singer got bombed on Sunday. 2 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 6 runs, all earned, 2 walks, 1 strikeout, sound the alarms. Brady Singer looked like a can't-miss dude 2 years ago when he was taking no-hitters into the ninth inning, striking out 9, just solid performance after solid performance, and it was off the rails last year. Inexplicable. Like, I was to the point last year where I got excited. I'm like, Brady Singer's pitching, I want to watch. And nothing good happened, ever. And he got rocked on Sunday. The Royals must be scared straight on this one. And I'll be the first one to ask the question, because I've seen this happen before. Is he a reliever? I would have never, ever, ever suggested such a thing 2 years ago. And I'm not going to really suggest it right now after a spring training outing, because a lot of times they're working on pitches and doing different things. But a lot of times they're just bad and they tell you you're working on something. But is he a one-inning guy? Can you reach back and get 4 more miles an hour on your fastball? Can you throw it a little harder 1 inning at a time? His stuff is nasty. He'd have amazing closer stuff. We all see that. They want him to be a starter in the worst possible way, but if this isn't working out, is this a candidate to change and be a real weapon in the bullpen? I don't know. All I know is it caught my attention that he got pounded on Sunday, because I think the Royals were treating last year like it's a one-off. He is written down as the number 4 starter. It's his. It's his job. He's got nothing to earn. Brady Singer is the number 4 starter right now. And I'll just ask the question, is there a chance that he is a closer or a reliever? Boy, I've never seen more of a mixed bag of news leading up to something than the Kansas City Current women's professional soccer team. The television channels all have their pom-poms on, and they're so excited, and it's all this girl power stuff. New stadium, another ceiling broken, first of its kind anywhere in America. But the fans are pissed. They've got a parking lot that's gravel. You got to ride a bus to the stadium. Now they're learning, the season ticket holders, I guess, got to come and check out their seats and stuff. And the complaints are everywhere. The seats are too small. They got the cheap seats, the cheap small seats. The aisles are narrow. The stadium is short on amenities. And it looks cheap. And everybody looks at it and knows it looks cheap. Look, these people spent tens of millions of dollars to build this stadium, and I congratulate them for that. But this is not an all-in major league stadium. This is a minor league stadium. I cannot stress this enough. You can drive by it and see that it's minor league. It's a little bit of an eyesore on a riverfront, and it hasn't even had a game yet. It is a little bit of an eyesore. It looks like, what is that erector set they just built? What is that? It's a little bit of an eyesore to add to your downtown landscape. Truly, it really is. So all I ask is, because I think it's great, women's soccer, people are going to pay money and go see it. That's awesome. Don't promote this as something that's mainstream or major league. Do not promote this stadium as something that's major league. It's not. It is professional soccer, but it's essentially minor league. Is it the best players? Of course, yes. But this is more like your experience is going to be very minor league compared to what you're used to. If you think the Royals and Chiefs are complaining about their stadiums and their experiences and they need billions of dollars from taxpayers to have better facilities, go check this place out. And again, I'm not even criticizing that much because they don't have that kind of money. I mean, this family that's poured all this money into this thing, to me, it's like a huge gamble or maybe even a giant waste of money. This is a big gamble. I mean, they're going to need concerts. They're going to need other things down here than soccer. This stadium is not going to stay full for soccer. That is not going to happen. The new will wear off quickly, and parking on gravel and riding buses will get old, and your tiny little flimsy seat you're sitting in narrow aisles and not very many amenities is going to grow thin too. They're going to need other events there than soccer. Soccer will not. That stadium will not work for women's soccer only. It will not work with women's soccer only. Just all I ask in the media in this town, I know you're liberal and I know you love women's soccer and it's your thing. Do not try to sell me something that is not happening. Everything they're doing is good. No complaint. Awesome. It's an ascending sport. No argument there. Women's soccer is ascending. The women players are actually better in America than the males. So there's a lot to like here. Just don't sell me on this is like the Chiefs, which is what the media try to do. They try to tell you everything is equal, you know, like all these sports, like, no, this isn't the Chiefs. I talked to a buddy yesterday who's been a season ticket holder for the Chiefs forever. And he wanted to move maybe to club level next year. And in order to move to club level, four seats for the first year, it was going to be $48,000, $12,000 a ticket. They make you pay this upfront fee and then per game. Now, it would go down in the second year and beyond. They hit you all up front. $48,000 for four club-level tickets at Arrowhead. Yeah, I don't think this soccer team is that. I just don't. But they're getting hit pretty hard with complaints already that the seats are not. We knew about the parking thing. Now it's the seats are too small and the aisles are too narrow. Our final sports topic here is Tyreek Hill, who cannot stay off of KKHI. Tyreek Hill went to a Kevin Hart show. Kevin Hart's a comedian. I believe this was in Atlanta. And he goes down and tries to sit in his seat, and a woman says, no, this is my seat. And I think it was her seat. And I don't think he did anything wrong other than he probably made a crack, said something, made a crack, whatever. And then shortly after that, a dude comes down and sits next to this woman who had lipped off and was getting lippy and whatever. And some more words are exchanged, and apparently this woman pushes the woman with Tyreek Hill. Now, trying to guess the woman with Tyreek Hill is just like pulling a card out of a deck. Like you just don't, I don't know who was there. So she pushes her, and then a scrum begins. And apparently Hill's not really involved in the scrum, but some of the people around him are. And so it breaks out, and here come the cops. Here comes security. Security took the woman, the initial woman that Hill did not know, and her boyfriend or husband or whomever he was, and cuffed them both and took them away. So it doesn't sound like Tyreek Hill did much wrong here other than probably is just guilty of not letting something slide. You know what I mean? These things follow Tyreek Hill amazingly. He's lippy, man. He is a lippy dude, and he gets involved in stuff. And this apparently got a little heated. And I don't know if those people were then arrested or if there's going to be charges or anything like that. But Tyreek Hill just can't stay out of the news. Also, over the weekend, he blamed a neighbor of his for videotaping his house on fire and posting it online. He's like, man, you're my neighbor. I think it was a rapper, a singer of some sort. He's like, you're my neighbor, man. You're my boy. And you're filming my house on fire and putting it on social media. What are you doing? Tyreek Hill. Oh, Tyreek Hill. We could probably just do a whole podcast on Tyreek's troubles someday. Our news today is brought to you by Buck Disposal, online at buckdisposal.com. Call 913-242-7695 for Buck Disposal. Their call, their people are right here in town. If you call the number, it's a local number. You get folks right here in Kansas City, which means their customer service is better than anyone in this industry. If you need a disposal unit brought to your house on a Saturday or Sunday, they'll bring it in the morning and take it out later that day. And the service is unbelievable at Buck Disposal. BuckDisposal.com, 913-242-7695. Window World is simply for the best for less. The official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs have American-made products. Windows, siding, and doors at Window World with a lifetime warranty. Call for a free analysis and estimate from the pros at Window World. They've got offices in Lenexa and Independence right here in our area, but they travel all over both states and into Iowa and Nebraska, 816-799-0820. That's 816-799-0820 for Window World, simply the best for less. And North Kansas City Dental, Dr. Bill Bush is my dentist. He could be your dentist too. He's an award-winning dentist. He does a lot of speaking nationally on high-tech dentistry. They're right on the cutting edge of everything that's good for you at North Kansas City Dental. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Dr. Bush or one of his team of dentists, they have two locations as well, Missouri and Kansas, nkcdental.com, or call 816-471-2911 for North Kansas City Dental. On to the news today. Trump, over the weekend, met the family of Laken Riley, the young woman who was killed by the illegal alien in Athens, Georgia, a couple of weeks ago. And it was emotional, and there were tears, and Trump talked about it at one of his speeches and rallies afterwards. And he said the word illegal about five times. Amazingly, unbelievably, the story after Joe Biden has botched the name of Laken Riley during the State of the Union speech and called her Lincoln Riley, who's the football coach at USC. Amazingly, it was the left in the media that turned on him for using the word illegal about the man who allegedly committed this crime. And it has become a massive story. And they continue to haunt and bug Joe Biden about whether he wishes he'd said illegal. They don't ask him if he wishes he'd said her name right. They ask if he wishes he hadn't said the word illegal, and he's apologizing for using the word illegal. So Trump just goes illegal, illegal, illegal. He said illegal alien, illegal immigrant, illegal migrant. He said, I'll put illegal in front of anything you want with this thug. Because he not only did that, he came here and committed two crimes before this, so he should have been illegal just on those crimes. Five times illegal, basically. And he's saying it over and over and over. It's working. Our message is getting through. This one gets through. They're unhinged on the left. George Stephanopoulos lost his freaking mind on This Week with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday. He had South Carolina Republican Nancy Mace as his guest. Nancy Mace is a University of Georgia graduate, went to the Citadel, was born at Fort Bragg, and she's a rape victim. There's the straight resume. And George Stephanopoulos tries to corner her with a question about supporting Trump, who has been convicted in a civil court, he says, of rape, which is not true. Trump was found not liable for rape. He was found guilty civilly of sexual abuse and later defamation. So the entire premise and question of this is a lie, and Nancy Mace wasn't having it.
Question about why you endorse someone who's been found liable for rape.
Just it was not a criminal court. This was a civil court. And by the way, she joked about the judgment and what she was going to do with all that money. And I find that offensive.
I'm asking you
but
about
as
the man
a
who's...
rape victim. Who's been shamed for years now because of her rape? You're trying to shame me again by asking me this political question.
You've repeated that again.
I think it's offensive. As a woman, I find it offensive. My political choices. I've endorsed the man that I believe is best for our country. It's not Joe Biden. And you looked at the dueling rallies yesterday in Georgia. Laken Riley's family was with Donald Trump. They weren't with Joe Biden. The same guy yesterday that apologized for calling her killer an illegal, who wasn't illegal. And here you are trying to shame a rape victim. I find it disgusting.
I mean, you keep saying I'm shaming you. There's
you are. The question, it is.
How is the question asking you about a presidential candidate who's
you're asking a rape victim.
And there's no question about that. And
you've
courageously talked about
that. Because I've been raped. I think that's disgusting.
No, I'm questioning your political choices because you're supporting someone who's been found liable for rape. Actually, I'm not trying to.
You are. That's exactly what
you're answering the question.
I think it's disgusting.
Well, you're welcome to say that, but you have to answer the question. Why are you supporting someone who's been found liable for rape?
I just answered your question.
Nancy Mace is awesome. And she did a great job. And she was able to point out there that he was not found guilty of rape in a civil court. It was sexual abuse, whatever that is. To me, the whole thing sounds fake. The lady has told three different stories of what happened. And she told conflicting stories in court about what happened. This thing is being appealed. The jury awarded her 80-some million dollars or something ridiculous like that. The whole thing against Trump, they're unhinged and insane. And George Stephanopoulos, in a fair world, would be suspended for the question, for using the word rape, because Trump was found not liable for rape. Again, this is not guilty versus not guilty. It's liable versus not liable. He was found not liable for rape. George Stephanopoulos should at least be suspended, and I think he should be fired, but we live in the world's a stacked deck. So Stephanopoulos goes out there and everybody watching thinks Trump was convicted of rape. They literally believe that. This is what they're going to do. They're going to falsely claim this is going to be a card they play going forward. You can bank on it. They're going to go forward and say he's convicted of rape. And it is a lie. It is absolutely false. He was found not liable for rape. He was found liable for sexual abuse and later defamation. It's unbelievable. They're so dishonest and dirty and awful. And Nancy Mace is a rape survivor. Went to the Citadel, was born at Fort Bragg, and a graduate of the University of Georgia. It's been a tough 2 weeks for her to see this stuff happening, no doubt about it. Well, we got an update, finally. It's been weeks and weeks since John Bartram was killed. You remember John Bartram? He's the guy you saw on the television commercials all the time for Jericho Home Improvement. And was always quoting like Bible verses and stuff. John Bartram was shot and killed in January at a gas station at 63rd and Prospect. And we didn't know much about this incident and it went quiet forever. And they've investigated it now. And Gene Peters Baker, the Jackson County prosecutor, has declined to bring charges against the man who killed Bartram, claiming this was in self-defense. Let me state very clearly at the start of this. It appears John Bartram was up to no good that night. This is, I am told, well, first of all, 90% looks like this is what it is, and I'm told by someone that it is exactly what it was. It's a drug deal gone wrong. And that Bartram approached the car of the drug dealer and did something threatening, either acted like he had a gun, was reaching, whatever. And the man pulled out his gun and shot Bartram and killed him. But they will not release the video and show this to us. They will not say that publicly. They will not say if Bartram was armed or unarmed. They will give no details. They're giving the family no details, and the family wants to see the video. And I'm going to tell you why, because that's what we do here. It is strictly my opinion, and only my opinion, that Bartram walked up to the car, acted like he was going to do something but had no weapon. Bartram, being white, was killed by a black man, in my opinion, or they'd be saying this or releasing it. This has all the markings of why are they keeping this video under wraps? Because the video's got to look terrible. Man walks up to car, gets shot dead. It's got to look terrible. And I think we're going to learn he was unarmed. I do believe that. I can't prove that to you now. But again, we say this. The common theme of this podcast is it's what they're not telling you that tells you everything. What they will not tell you right now in Jackson County is everything. If John Bartram walked up to that car with a gun, they would have said that. They would have said, we're not charging in this case because of self-defense. Bartram approached a car with a gun. They'd say that. They're not saying that. So you know he didn't have a gun because they would say that. They do not want you to see that an unarmed white man went up to the car and a black man shot him dead. If, and again, strictly my opinion, if the skin, this is such a joke in America, if the skin colors of the two people involved in this were reversed. Again, I don't know for a fact that the driver, the shooter was black. I don't know that for a fact. I do not know that for a fact. I want to state this very clearly. I believe the reason this is not getting out is because of that. I think there's just more that they're hiding here. But maybe not. It could be white on white, and they'd probably hide it the same way. But if this were a black man walking up to that car and a white person in the car, and he shot an unarmed black man on a drug deal gone wrong, this would be the biggest story in America. The video would be released, and this would be the number one story, trending story in America. It would be. And in the case of John Bartram, sort of a socialite, certainly a celebrity, and a business owner in Kansas City, he dies. His family doesn't get to see it. I don't think there's any question. Look, I'm not even defending Bartram here. He's up to no good. There's nothing good there. Whatever he was doing was not good. We all know that. That's easy for us to see. And they have said he approached a car. Bad idea. Really bad idea, John. Probably strung out himself. If he's going for drugs, he's probably on drugs. Lots of things in play here. I don't. It's terrible what happened to him, but you make your own bed, you sleep in it. And I think the family knows that. They just want to see it. They want to see the video. They want details. They're threatening a lawsuit because they're suppressing the evidence in this case. They're not letting anybody see anything. I just point that out because it's more than interesting to question what would the scenario be based on skin color or something different. Or, you know, the message of, hey, white people in Lee Summit or Leawood, don't come driving down here to Kansas City, Missouri. Look what happens to you. I don't think they want that out much either. The Oscars were Sunday night. Jimmy Kimmel hosted. He started early on Katie Britt, the senator from Alabama, making fun of her. And he ended the night because the show was running early. They had extra time to kill. So Kimmel pulled out his phone and said, oh, he started reading mean tweets. And it was from Donald Trump making fun of Jimmy Kimmel, blasting him. And then the Trump jokes came and they, you know, there was plenty of liberalism in this thing. I don't feel like it was as bad as it used to be because there were long stretches. Not, we watched a lot of it. I flipped around, but look, I had a vested interest in this time. I think Oppenheimer is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. I mentioned this when I saw it last summer. I couldn't get out of it. When I was awake, it wouldn't leave my head for a week. Like it like affected me in good ways, you know, intelligent ways, making you think. This was just an unbelievable movie. I can't even, it was just a remarkable film. So I'm watching a little bit last night because I knew that Cillian Murphy, the actor, would win Best Actor and that Chris Nolan, the director, would win Best Director. But you're never sure about Best Picture because they could go to something that where they're trying to make some sort of statement about, I don't know. I mean, they gave the documentary award to a Ukrainian film because Ukraine had never won an Oscar award. So Ukraine won an Oscar last night. And they got up and they started talking about the bad Putin, bad Russians, that we got a... another film that won, and a Jewish dude came up and started ripping on Jewish people and equating victims on both sides, and they all clapped and cheered. I can't figure out where liberals are on any of these conflicts. Actually, I can figure the Russian thing out. There's some sort of grift going on in Ukraine, so they hate Putin. But there was politics in this. You probably wouldn't have liked it if you didn't watch it. And the songs were terrible. There was a lot. Again, I was flipping around. I'm watching Seinfeld episodes, some sports on, basketball, different things. I'm moving all over the place, but I watched quite a bit of it. It was political and yucky, and we didn't like much of that. But my point is, if you have not seen Oppenheimer, watch it. See it. It's that good. It's not particularly political. It makes pro-American statements throughout the film, and it makes anti-usage of the bomb statements. But it does, you're not sitting here looking at it going, okay, this is Democrat or Republican. You're not. It's just... it's no wonder it resonated so with so many people. Really, really, really cool film, Oppenheimer. You couldn't pay me to watch Barbie. It didn't win much. Barbie didn't win much, and it shouldn't. It's just a fun film. It's great that the Swifties all liked Barbie, and it was all about girl power and whatnot. That's fine. Make movies for everybody. I'm all for that. But Oppenheimer earned what they won what they earned. There's no. I was surprised to hear Christopher Nolan had been nominated 7 times for director and had never won. That's amazing. And he finally won on this night. Pretty cool stuff. Our final is brought to you by EarthFX Outdoor, online at eeoutdoor.com. You ready to do some spring cleanup? Get all your bushes trimmed, take some old ones out, get some new mulch in, clean it up, maybe plant some more stuff. EEOutdoor.com, 816-478-7700. Don't forget their hardscapes. They do ponds, waterfalls, kitchens, lighting. They do it all. EEOutdoor.com. Buck Roofing and Construction is online at rbuckroofing.com. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Amini's Galleria is at 105th and Metcalf. Great weather this week. Perfect time to get into Amini's. And we got daylight savings time now. You can go after work. Go there in the early evening. They got all kinds of patio furniture outside. Sit on it right there as the sun's going down over Metcalf. Sun will be going down right down over Hooters. It'll be perfect. You know, there goes that sunset over Hooters. You could test out the outdoor furniture at Amini's right there outdoors. I love Amini's, man. They got all the cool stuff there. Online at Amini's.com or visit them 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Our final is word from Applebee's, which is based in Kansas City, or is founded and based in Kansas City, which is also under the same company now, the same corporation as IHOP. And they're doing something that may save them both. So in 8 locations, they have converted either an Applebee's or an IHOP into both. And this sounds like one of the best ideas I've ever heard. Now, sometimes I think there are great ideas that just flop and don't work. And sometimes I hear of things that I just think are stupid and they wind up being big. I'm like, when we first started texting on our phones, why would I text somebody if I could call them? And of course, that was a stupid observation on my part. Really, really, really short-sighted. But I look at this and I go, well, this is a pretty good idea. So here's what they've got. There are times when IHOP and Applebee's are full. They're crowded. They have wait times. They have now eliminated that. They basically eliminated it. They're making these as bigger restaurants with more seating. They'll have double kitchens. And as they build them out and build them going forward, when IHOP is busy on Saturday and Sunday morning, they can use the seating area of the Applebee's as overflow. So nobody has to wait because Applebee's won't open until 11 or 12. And then the same thing when Applebee's closes at night or when they're busy at night for dinner rush and stuff on Friday, Saturday night, presumably, they can overflow into IHOP and have seating over there and be served by servers over there. It makes sense. It says there at these 8 restaurants, sales have doubled what they would be at standalone IHOP Applebee's. And that's not adding the two of them together. It's combined doubled. And that sounds like a winner. It makes sense. So these things will be open 24 hours. Presumably Applebee's the bar would stay open later. Now, you know, they tried forever to get like bar business at Applebee's and it hasn't worked with great success, but maybe now, I don't know. Does that sound like a good idea or a bad idea to you? You're probably saying to yourself, when was the last time I ate at IHOP or Applebee's? What's hurt them all is just really good local restaurants. There's so many great breakfast places in Kansas City that hurts IHOP and Denny's and places like that. And there's so many great other restaurants around that Applebee's gets hurt. There was a time that there weren't enough really good local restaurants. And I think that's in most places happened. Where these are generally successful is not metropolitan areas like Kansas City. It's places like, this is no knock on any of these places. I love these places. Like maybe Warrensburg or Harrisonville or Paola or something like that. You put an Applebee's there. There's one in Belton out by where my in-laws live, close to them. Belton, it works. They work at Ottawa, Kansas, I'm sure has an Applebee's. It probably does pretty well. That's where they seem to work best. But I wonder if this will make them more successful in bigger metropolitan areas. I root for Applebee's. I do. I should take my mom there and support them. There's one really close to her house. It's very nice. That's where we're going to go for lunch next time. We're going to go to Applebee's for lunch. We should support them. They're in many ways a local company, and people that work for Applebee's work here, and there's some Applebee's millionaires running around, execs that are retired from that company that are amongst us. And so we like the idea of Applebee's and IHOP combining their stores in 8 locations so far, but apparently many more are coming because the sales look really good as a new concept of a combined. Reminds me of the Kentucky Hut we used to have at 119th and Metcalf. It was Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut all in one place, the Kentucky Hut. I'm not sure they still do the pizza in there. I think it might just now be the KFC and Taco Bell. Why not combine them up, man? Give people choice. At KKHI.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.